joy to be here for the final night of the missions conference. Amen? 2 weeks later. But I don't begrudge that at all. I'm glad that God moved in, and God can move in anytime He wants to. And I think we've got sense enough to move out of the way and let God do what He wants to do. And you've heard me say time before that it's hard to sow seed when the wind's blowing. And the wind was blowing pretty strong the Sunday night of the missions conference. And so we just let it blow, amen, and just get in on it. And I want to, and I had saved all of my accolades until the final service of the mission conference is to thank all of you for what you did for us that week. And on behalf of the missionaries, you've done such a wonderful job with missions and how you love missionaries, and the missionaries. I just was elated about some of the things that went on here and how God moved, and you allowed God to move through you. John Shelley was just overwhelmed, and he said, "Preacher, you know that we've been in mission conferences for years and years, but he said you don't get in mission conferences like this often, and so I just want to thank you for making it wonderful, and for the response to Faye Promise, and that's what I look forward to every year." Is to see the results and what how you respond to the preaching of the Word of God. And that's a tremendous almost $109,000 that's been committed. And I want to say I appreciate our pastor for his love for missions. And I guess I learned him something. I hadn't maybe not learned him a whole lot, but I learned him something. I tried to teach him about taking this thing by faith, and he's seen it growing up. He started giving the missions when he was knee-high to a duck, and he's been giving the missions, and he knows, grew up knowing what that Faith Promise card was for, and now he's able to carry it on and to teach others what it's for, and that's wonderful. And then I'll tell you another thing I appreciate about him. Is that when we finished the mission conference, or even before we finished the mission conference, he takes on missionaries and leads the church to take them on. I like that. Amen. And that's by faith. Now, see, not one dollar of that mission money that you committed had come in on Sunday morning of the mission conference because you had just made the commitment. But yet, by faith, he took on these missionaries. And I appreciate that. That's not so in most places where I preach. And that's sad. I was preaching over in North Carolina a few years ago, and we pushed hard to get a good faith promise. There were five missionary families in that mission conference, and they put their heart and soul in it, and the people responded by committing a good faith promise. And then the pastor comes up and kills the whole thing. And he said, "Well, folks," he said, "all of this is good." And he said, "I appreciate the commitment you made." He said, "We're going to wait about 3 or 4 months to see if it comes in. And then we'll talk about taking on missionaries." Killed the whole week right there with those words. And that's sad. And those missionaries came to me afterwards and said, "Preacher, what in the world happened here?" And so he said, I said, "Well, you'll have to wait 4 or 5 months, I guess, to see whether you're going to get support." But anyway, I like the way that he does this, and I appreciate that so very much. That by faith, you see, what he's doing is putting confidence not just in God, but in you, that you're going to give that faith promise. Amen. And that's by faith, and I like that, and I appreciate that. That pastor expected the people to give by faith, but then he wasn't going to move by faith. And, of course, that killed the whole thing and probably killed his mission program. I hadn't been invited back, so I don't know. But anyway, God's been good to Linwood Baptist Church. Amen. And I hope you realize that and know that. And because of your commitment to missions and your love for missions. And I appreciate it with all of my heart to have a sending church that's got a heart for missions the way that you do. All right, enough said about that. Turn your Bibles. In fact, three passages of Scripture. You don't have to turn to Ezekiel 22, verse 30 if you don't want to. I'm going to read that verse in a moment. You can turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24. I'll read the last two verses of that chapter in a little while. And then we will go to Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2 just to bounce off. And then I'll get back into that just a little bit later on in a little while. But in Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30, the Bible says, and this is God speaking, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And the theme of our preaching, the mission conference, was standing in the gap for missions. And we preached the first message on Wednesday night on standing in the gap of searching from that passage that I just read in your hearing. God's searching for somebody that He can depend on to stand in that gap and make up the hedge. And I hope that as He looked down on Linwood Baptist Church, searching for somebody, that the answer was, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Your search is over for me because here I am. And so the emphasis on the investigation of missions. God's investigating, looking, searching. Then on Thursday night, we went to Acts chapter 8 and we preached about standing in the gap of service. And the emphasis was on our involvement in missions. And we saw a fellow by the name of Philip who stood in the gap between a man and some other man, a man, the sinner, some other man, the Savior. And here was the servant that stood in the gap, the some man that stood in the gap between the a man and the some other man. God needs a some man, some woman, some boy, some girl, somebody to stand in the gap of service. And we'll say a little more about service tonight. But then on Friday night, we went to Exodus 32, and we saw how that Moses stood in the gap of supplication. And he interceded, the emphasis on the intercession and missions. He interceded for God not to destroy the people. And we preached about the importance of praying for missionaries and mission projects and mission fields around the world. And then on the Sunday school, in the Sunday school hour, we went to Philippians 4, verses 14 through 20, I think. And we preached about standing in the gap of supply. And we saw how that the supply lines have to stay open. An army travels on its stomach, Napoleon said. And what he was emphasizing was the fact that the supply lines has to stay open, or an army can't be what it's supposed to be. And God has a supply line. He sends His missionaries out to the field, but the supply line has to stay open. And the supply line is from God's hand through His church, His people, and out to the missionaries and on the mission field. And that supply line has got to stay open. And our emphasis there was on our investment in missions. And you'll never go wrong by investing in eternal souls. because that one day at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll make all the difference in the world, what you put on that card and what you give to keep sinners out of hell. And then Sunday morning, we went to Numbers chapter 16 and preached about Aaron standing in the gap for souls. He stood between the dead and the living, the Bible says. And the emphasis was on our interest in missions and how interested we ought to be in eternal souls. And then on Sunday night, we would have gotten to where we're going to tonight. And I'm going to be preaching on what we call standing in the gap of sacrifice. And what we want to look at tonight is our inspiration in missions. You see, as we're willing to give up some things, our hearts should be inspired more to reach others with the gospel. And I want to emphasize that tonight. Now, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 24, and indulge me for just a minute or two or three or four or five, let me lay the groundwork and give the emphasis on the scriptures here, that the context of what that the Word of God is talking about here. Now, the chapter divides into three divisions: the sin, the suffering, and the sacrifice. David has sinned. Satan has moved David's heart to be lifted up with pride. And because of pride, he wants to number the people. His battles are over, and he's won the battles. He has subdued the enemies, and now he's gotten lifted up in pride. And he wants to take a census, and there's nothing wrong with taking a census. Several of them were taken in the Old Testament. But this was out of the pride, the stubborn nature, the pride of his heart, and the rebellion because of it. And Joab tried to say, "No, King, we don't need to do that." But he was so stubborn, he pushed it and said, "We're going to do it." And so, as a result, the prophet of God came to him, Gad is his name, he came to him, and he said to him that you've sinned, and David made that statement he made the statement, in verse number 10, he said, "I have sinned greatly," and that's an important thought. Because that you remember the other sin that David committed with Bathsheba. And that's the one that if you ask anybody what you remember about David, they'll say, "Sin with Bathsheba." Well, that was the sin of the flesh. And when the prophet Nathan came to him then and rebuked him for it, then he made this statement. He said, "I have sinned." David had a tender heart. He was a man after God's own heart. And when he was confronted with his sin, he melted, and he always confessed it and got to right with God about it. And that's why he was a man after God's own heart. And when Nathan confronted him about it, he said, "I have sinned." But when he numbered the people and committed the sin of pride, he said, "I have sinned greatly." Now, the reason that I emphasize that is that we think that sins of the flesh, adultery that he committed, drunkenness that he committed with Uriah the Hittite, murder that he committed when he had Uriah killed, Bathsheba's husband, to try to cover his sin. And we think those sins of the flesh are terrible, and they are. But here he says about his pride, "I have sinned greatly." In other words, that sin of pride, David felt like was worse than any sin he had ever committed. And we don't think much about that. I mean, we can sing and preach and teach and minister and full of pride and think nothing about it. But boy, I'll tell you, it's a sin against God. And so as a result of David's sin, David suffered. And then the verses, the prophet came to him in verse 13 and told him and said there's three options. Number one, 7 years of famine come unto thee in the land. Number two, will thou flee 3 months before thine enemies? Or number three, that there be 3 days of pestilence in the land. David said, I'd rather fall in the hands of God than the hands of my enemies. And so I'll take number three. And God's a merciful God. And as a result of it then, the pestilence came upon him, verse 15, from started at 6 o'clock in the morning to evening time of the time of the evening sacrifice, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And during those 9 hours, 70,000 men died as a result of David's sin. And it just tore David all to pieces, and his heart was broken over it. Verse 16, when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented of the evil, and he said, it's enough. He said, stop it. And then the prophet tells David in verse 18, he said, I want you to go to the house of Araunah, and I want you to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. And so David's sin, David's suffering, and then David's sacrifice that he made. And so he goes to the house of Araunah. Araunah wants to give him the land and give him everything, but he says, no. He said, I can't sacrifice without paying the price. And in verse number 24, the Bible says, and the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Now, if you would read the chapter that compares here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and I won't take the time to go there, it says that David paid 600 shekels of gold, 600 pieces of gold, but that's talking about David bought the entire property for 600, which amounts a day in today's currency would be about $356,400 is what he gave for the property. And then he gave 50 shekels of silver for the oxen and the things that were to be done for the sacrifice there, and that amounted to about $308 in today's prices for the oxen and the things about the sacrifice. And verse 25, the Bible says, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. So David makes a sacrifice, pays in full. He's not making a sacrifice for somebody else's money, but he's giving it of himself, because he said, I cannot make an offering to God to that which costs me nothing. So tonight, I want to close this mission conference by preaching on standing in the gap of sacrifice. I'll get to Romans 12, 1 and 2 in a little while. Father, bless these few thoughts now to our hearts, and may Christ be honored in it all. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now, the word sacrifice, in a general sense, just means the act of giving up something. For example, you think about a mom and a dad that wants to buy a new house. They need a new house. Their family's growing, and they need one. But because that they want to send their children to college and have a better life for them, they will forego the expense of buying that new house so that they can save their money to better the lives of their children. Now, that's a sacrifice in a general sense that they're making. I heard about a lady who had a good hobby. She loved to grow things, had a greenhouse, and she just loved to take care of that. And it was the thrill of her life to see the things grow and the beautiful flowers and so forth. But her mother became very ill, and so she had to take care of her ill and aged mother. And then she kept her grandchildren so her daughter could work a full-time job. And so she had to forego her hobby that she loved so much in order to do those duties that she knew that she had to do. Now, in a general sense, that's a sacrifice. Now, when we come to the spiritual realm of it, the thought, I think, is even more exalted than in the general sense. You see, in the Bible, the thought of sacrifice is the act of offering up something to God, as we saw there in verse number 24, there just a little while ago. Now, it costs something for the offerer to offer it up, to sacrifice it, but the offerer is willing to pay whatever it takes to sacrifice to God or whatever the situation might be. Now, that's sacrificing. Now, the thought of sacrifice and the word is used a number of ways throughout the Word of God. I won't take the whole lot of time here. Just want to mention them. Number one, it's used for the purpose in Acts 7, verse number 41, of idolatrous sacrifices back in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 20, it talks about idolatrous sacrifices. And by the way, I don't have time to preach on that. There's a whole lot of that going on in America tonight. We don't fall down to idols like the old dead, dumb idols like they did maybe. But the thing of it is, we've got our gods. There's the God of the almighty dollar. We think we worship that thing. There's the God of sports. And that is a terrible God in America. A wicked God in America as far as I'm concerned. And we can name a whole lot of them, but I won't. But then there's the Bible talks about Acts 7, verse 42, Hebrews 10, verse 1, verse 8. Talks about the various animal sacrifices back in the Old Testament under the law that was offered and that was required for the nation of Israel throughout those hundreds and hundreds of years. Especially on the Day of the Atonement, and then when they would bring them to sacrifice, when the people would sin, there'd have to be sacrifices that were made and animals whose blood was shed, all of them looking forward to Calvary. And then number four, there is the matter of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, Ephesians 5, verse number 2, Hebrews 9, verse 23, and verse number 26. And so those are the ways that the word sacrifice was used. But the one that I want to share with us tonight and to get our attention on is Romans 12, 1 and 2, where the word is used of believers. Believers, and as it's used of believers in their service to the Lord. Paul said, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what he's saying is our whole being is to be presented to the Lord for a sacrifice. Now, this is what I wanted to leave with you this evening. What should we be willing to sacrifice for missions? And I want us to think about that just for a little while. And this brings us to the outline on your paper here now. First of all, we need to sacrifice, we need to give ourselves. Now, think about giving yourself to the Lord, as those Macedonians did in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, where that Paul said that they gave their own selves to the Lord. And Paul is talking about in the scripture that I read in Romans chapter 12. He mentions three things that we are to give to sacrifice to the Lord. First of all, we're to sacrifice our body. He said that we are to give it as a living sacrifice. Now, that's important. God's not looking for a dead sacrifice. Somebody said, well, I'd die for the Lord. He don't want you to die for Him. He wants you to live for Him. And the problem with a living sacrifice, that it always has a tendency to crawl off of the altar. Amen. And so that's why that it's got to be given to God. To give yourself to the Lord and give your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. That means to dedicate your body to the Lord. I'm to dedicate my body to the Lord. That's why we need to be careful what we put in our bodies, because our bodies belong to God. We ought to be careful what we put on our bodies, because our bodies belong to God. And when we do things and we dress in an inappropriate way and we do things to our bodies and mark our bodies all, we have to be careful about things like that. And we've got to take these things serious, you see, because our body belongs to God. You hear these women talk about, well, it's my body, I'll kill my baby if I want to. You don't have an option to do that. Killing is murder. Abortion is murder. And that's against the Word of God. You can't do what you want to do with your body when you're disobeying the Word of God. A Christian's body is to be presented to the Lord and given to the Lord day by day. But then he goes on to mention not just our body, but our minds. He said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable? He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing our minds. How do we renew our minds? Our minds are corrupted by the world. You can't even turn on the television anymore to try to hear the news without hearing some old reprobate use profanity and even take God's name in vain. I don't watch them stupid, crazy, idiotic Oscars stuff in Hollywood, but I did see a clip Monday morning on the news about a man going across the stage stark naked, except for a little piece of paper about that big. Now, that's demonic, friends. And you see, those things have a tendency to corrupt our minds. When all of this garbage is going into our eye gate, going into our ear gate, and it's going right into our minds, that's why you need to be careful what kind of music you listen to, because that's going right into your mind, and it has a way of corrupting the mind. And this is what Paul is saying, as we present ourselves to the Lord, our bodies and our minds, we're to renew our minds, because our minds are corrupted by the world and they need to be constantly renewed by the Word of God. That's the way we renew our minds. But then he goes on to say that we're not just to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, our minds, but he says to give our wills to God, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Our wills are to be given to God. You know why I serve God? I choose to. I will to. I want to. And every morning when I get up out of the bed, I try to get up at 5 o'clock every morning and worship God for the first hour. Just worship Him. Listen to gospel songs and let God speak to my heart. And then I spend an hour in prayer to pray for, I've got certain people, some, I guess 150 to 200 people on my daily prayer list that I try to pray for every day for the next hour. And I always begin by giving myself to God, my body and my mind, and I say, Lord, I want to serve you today. Help me to serve you with all of my heart, soul, body, and mind. I give you my will, Lord, and I willingly serve you. I willingly trust you. I willingly want you to be my Lord. And Lord, you have all of me. Now, that's the way that we are to give ourselves to the Lord. Giving ourselves to God means that we're to lose our life in His. We're to lose our ambitions. We're to lose our desires. We're to lose our goals. We're to lose our loves in Christ. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8. If you would turn there for just a moment, I want you to see it. And in verse number 34 and 35, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You see, he wants us to lose our life. And that's what it means to give ourselves, losing our life in Christ. It means to denying self. It means dying to self. Now, here's the question. Have you ever given your life to Christ? Have you ever walked an aisle in a church like this and got in the altar and said, God, I'm coming today to take my hands off of my life. I don't want to control my desires and my goals and my ambitions and my loves. I want you to have all of that. If you have never done that, tonight would be the best time in the world to walk down and get in this altar here and give yourself to Christ, to lose your life in Him, in this area of missions. Have you ever really seriously considered that God might want you to be a missionary? That God might want you to exercise your faith even more in giving to missions? And you see, if you've never done that, then you've never really given yourself to the Lord in that area. And I hope that tonight that all of us would be willing to do that. Let me go to a second thing quickly. Not just giving ourselves, but giving our service to God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28, the Bible says this, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You see, giving ourselves to God, yes, but then giving our service to God. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 6 in verse 5 through 8. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your master according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service. Don't do it just because that others are watching and as men pleasers, just to please some men, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether it be he be bond or free. Now, what he's saying is that when we give our service to God, we're not doing it to please men, and we're not doing it because other people are watching us. We are doing it for the glory of God. Whether we ever get any credit for doing anything or not, if we're doing it for the glory of God, one day at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be amply rewarded for our service to God. Oh, I tell you, he gave his service to us unconditionally. In John chapter 4 and verse number 34, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He said again in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, he said that the Son of Man has not come to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, "I've come to serve. I've not come to be served. I've come to serve." And that ought to be our heart's desire, is not to be served, but to serve our Lord Jesus Christ as long as we live. Now, why should he expect any less from us if he gave himself to serve? And why should we give him any less than our all if we're going to serve him? What can we serve him with? Our time. Redeem the time, he said, because the days are evil. There's nothing more important than the work of God. And we ought to be willing to give our time. We ought not to begrudge the time that we come to church and work or serve or whatever we do in the service of God. Because he's given us that opportunity. When he says redeem the time, it means literally to buy up opportunities. Take advantage of every opportunity you have to serve the Lord. And God knows we need that. You know, we preach about tithing our income. You ever thought about tithing your time to the Lord? You know, people fuss about having to go to church so much. But 168 hours in a week? What's 10% of that? 16.8? Do you give God that much time? 16.8 hours. Do you tithe your time to God? It's something to think about. And then we need to give our talent, what God has blessed us with. I told you that I get up early in the morning and listen to, I love to listen to them Bill Gaither videos. Now I have to choose my songs. Because some of them are, you know, I don't like. And so I choose my song, but boy, it speaks to my heart. Glory to God, he got to singing this morning, "Worthy is the Lamb." Whew. I like to have a spell. I worship God. He got to singing about the Lamb of God and praising, and the whole place were on their, everybody on their feet, their hands were raised, praising the Lord. And hey, I know what's fake, and I know what's real. That was real, and that blessed my soul. That's what I'm talking about. And I got to thinking about all of them people assembled together there. Talent, multiplied talent. All of these gospel singers, hymn writers, and all of them singing for the glory of God. I got to thinking about these people could be in the world using that talent for the world and make big money, but they've chosen to give it to God. And in the process to bless me because of it. And to give me a sweet time of worship every morning. And I appreciate that. That's a sacrifice. That's what I'm talking about. We sacrifice our time. Sacrifice our talent. And we ought to sacrifice our testimony. To give our testimony to the Lord. Constantly testifying of the good grace of God. I want you to listen to Psalm 116 and verse number 12. Psalmist said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Verse 17. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving." and will call upon the name of the Lord. He said, I'll tell you what I'll give to God for all his benefits. I'm going to praise him. And giving our testimony, praising him. Listen to Psalm 107 and verse 22, where he says this. Well, let me find it. Amen. I'll find it here in a minute. Psalm 107, verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You see, when we rejoice and declare his wonderful works, we are offering up a sacrifice of praise and glory to him. And oh, that God's people would want to do that for the glory of God. Listen to Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name. Oh, my dear friend, I'm talking about serving our Lord with our time, our talent, and our testimony. But then let me give you a quick third thing here, and I'm just going to mention this and go on and find a closing point. You see, we're to sacrifice ourselves, sacrifice our service. You say, preacher, I just don't have all that time to be down at that church working. I know you don't, but it's a sacrifice, you see. You make time to do it. It's a sacrifice. And then number three, to give of our substance to God. He gave his all for us. Why should he not expect some reciprocation given back to him? Because he gave his all to us. That's why the Lord expects us to give scripturally and supernaturally and even sacrificially. You say, but preacher, I just can't afford it. That's right. But it's a sacrifice. We sacrifice in order to give. I can't afford to give all that mission money, but it's a sacrifice. We're talking about souls. This is souls that we're talking about when we talk about mission money. And I talk, mention over and over and over, mission conferences. When you hear me mention the word mission money, don't think of money near as much as you think of souls. Because mission money translates into souls. Amen. And God is always pleased with that. Amen. I know our pastor has mentioned this before in passing in a message. I heard him one time. But we led an old boy to Christ in Aschaffenburg, Germany years ago. And this guy just gave his whole life to the Lord. Never saw anybody just get so excited about serving God, and never saw anybody fall more supremely in love with Jesus than Jeff Stewart did when he got saved. Went to Bulgaria as a missionary after he got out of the military. And just gave his whole life to God. Now he's still serving the Lord and taking mission trips now and leading churches to the mission fields, taking short-term mission trips. And helping churches in that area. But just gave his life to the Lord. And not long after Jeff got saved, he came to church one Sunday morning, and I noticed that he's driving an old jalopy. He had almost a whole brand new Chevrolet when he got saved. And he came to church driving, and I can't remember what it was, just a run-down old beat-up piece of junk. And I said, Jeff, I said, is your car in the shop? He said, oh, no, preacher. He said, this is my car. I said, oh, you bought you another old car to run around in? He said, no. He said, I sold my good car. And he said, I bought this so that we could just go around with my family and do soul winning visitation, come back and forth to church. And I said, Jeff, you gave up your good car for this? I said, why'd you do that? And he hung his head. He said, well, preacher, he said, you've been preaching about tithing. We started tithing. He said, then you got preaching about giving to missions. And he said, we felt impressed to give to missions. And he said, we just figured that we could not keep this car and make payments on it and do what God wanted us to do for him. And he said, so I let it go, sold it. And he said, this is all we need to get back and forth to church. And he said, so I willingly gave it to God. That's why God used him and is using him the way that he has all of these 35, 37 years or so now. That's what I'm talking about, a sacrifice, giving our substance to God. You see, we ought to be careful how that we let our jobs, our housework, our yard work, our sports keep us out of the house of God. I can't imagine letting your kid play a sport on Sunday when we ought to be in the house of God. Or cutting grass on Sunday when we ought to be in the house of God. What I'm saying is we're to give our substance to God. Then let me close with this. We're to give our sons, our daughters, our children to the Lord. Somebody's going to get them. The world's going to get them, or the devil's going to get them if we don't give them to God. I purpose to give mine to God. You've heard me say we laid him on the altar. First service he was at church, as we did our daughter. And we gave him to God. And I'm glad that we did. He belongs to God. From the time he was a baby, he belonged to God. My daughter belonged to God. This is what I'm talking about. Now, whatever God chooses to do with them, that's up to him. Sometimes it's hard. Crystal, we give him children to God. It's not easy for your teenage daughter to give herself to missions. It's not easy. The Walker's not here tonight. Walker's to give their daughter to missions. It's not easy. But it's a sacrifice. And it's worth it all. We don't know where that will lead them. But yet we know that they're in the hands of a sovereign God. And it'll be all right, whatever God chooses to do with them. Oh, this is what I'm talking about. I'm preaching tonight about standing in the gap of sacrifice. You see, a huge breach, a huge gap had been made in that hedge. My question is, will you be inspired to stand in the gap and sacrifice and offer up to God whatever he would lead you to do? I'm going to close by just reading this little thing that somebody sent me. It's entitled Real Sacrifice. And I want you to listen to this. Husband and wife, church members, nominal Christians, but they wanted to take a mission trip to Asia. And so it was worked out for them to go. When they got to Korea, they were touring the countryside with a missionary one day. They saw a field by the side of the road. In the field, an older lady and a boy were pulling a plow while an old man held the plow handles and directed it through the rice paddies. The husband was amused and he took a snapshot of the scene. That's a curious picture. I suppose they're poor, he said to the missionary who was their interpreter and guide. Yes, was the reply. That is the family of Chi Nawa. When the church was being built, they were eager to give something to it, but they had no money, so they sold the only ox they had and gave the money to the church. This spring, having no ox, They are pulling the plow themselves. The husband and wife were silent for several minutes. Then the wife said, "That was a real sacrifice." Missionary said, "They did not call it a sacrifice. They thought it was fortunate that they had an ox that they could sell to give to the work of God." The two tourists had not much to say after that. But after they reached home, they took the photograph to the church and told their pastor of the incident. And they said, "We want to double our commitments to the church this year." And he said, "Pastor, give us some plow work to do." We never knew what sacrifice to the Lord meant. And we're ashamed to say that we've never given anything to the church that cost us something. Now, that is a tremendous story. And my friend, every one of us ought to do some checking up. Take some inventory tonight. Have we ever really sacrificed something for Christ? I mean, just give up something. Have we ever really give it up for the Lord? What would you be willing to sacrifice for Christ in this matter of missions? Would you give yourself, your service, your substance, your sons? What would you give to Christ? That's something to think about. As we close this mission conference this year, what are you willing to give to Christ? Whatever it is would fall into the background of insignificance when compared to the great sacrifice that He made for us on the cross to die for our sins. I hope we'll give our all to Him. Let's stand with our heads bowed.